All right, I wish I would have had a lot more time to get this ready. I've been thinking about these things for a few days, and I had company this evening here, and I didn't get a lot of time, as much time as I wanted to develop these thoughts, but I think I got enough to keep us here about as long as you want to be here tonight, so. Ephesians chapter 4, start reading verse 11, and we'll read down through 15 to start with. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's the purpose of the church and the plan all in a nutshell right there. In four verses. Tells us how he set it up, what its purpose is, and what is the purpose of the church? The perfecting of the saints. Yes. And to get them ready to present to God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. The goal is for all of us to be like Christ in our character, in our moral attitude, in our mind, to have the mind of Christ. And how do you do that? Well, you've got pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. That's how God means for it to be done. That's right. Not a thing in there about voting and everybody deciding together what's right and wrong, what to do, how to do it, and all that. The whole purpose of the church is for the people that God picks out and calls to teach and to preach and to prophesy and to be an evangelist, to edify the body and to bring men and women to perfection, yes. Maturity, so they don't act like children, that's what it says. So that you be no more children, tossed to and fro and all about. You know, I thought about this earlier today. The older you get, the more life becomes like watching a train wreck continually. That's what it's like. No kidding. You watch these videos, you ever watch these videos where a train hits a car or a truck? And there you go, you're watching it. The title done told you what's going to happen, and you can see him coming. And you're saying, stop, stop. But you know he ain't going to stop. And you know what's fixing to happen. Kind of makes you anxious, don't it? You think, oh my, why'd he do that? Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's what you think. Why'd you do that? Seen one the other day, this guy in a truck had a big dozer or track hole or something on the back and went in front of a train and got caught. Well, I mean, the train turned him over and turned the whole thing over and wrecked him. You've seen all that. You know that feeling as you watch someone about to pull out in front of a train, and you know what's about to happen, but you can't do anything to stop them. Now, if you've lived to be old, if you live to be old and you've learned anything in life, that's what your life's going to be like. Yep. You're just going to be watching people, young people. You're going to be watching them while they just pull out in front of the train again and again and again. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You want to know why old people are like they are sometimes? I'm telling you why right now. Because that's what they're seeing. They're just seeing wreck after wreck after wreck. We ain't rolling dice here. And everything don't happen according to the roll of dice. Things happen the same old way. I mean, the same roads lead to the same places as they have since the Garden of Eden. And it ain't going to be different for you. or anybody else. You pull out in front of that train, it's going to do the same thing to you it does to everybody else that pulls out in front of it. And when you've seen it happen for a lifetime, and you get real keen on sin, it's fixing to happen again. Fixing to happen again. You watch others, and it's grief to you. It's sorrow to you, because it don't have to be.
Right.
You know why? Young person, can't you learn from my mistakes?
Yes.
Why can't you learn from the times that I've pulled out in front of a train? Why can't you take my pain and my loss and learn from it and save yourself from it?
Yes.
But it just isn't that way. It's just not that easy. You can holler and say that, no, stop, stop. But they won't stop. Because somehow everybody figures, well, children tossed to and fro. I was talking to somebody the other night. I don't know if it was you or who it was, but you know, when you get older, things start becoming real to you. There's different stages in life. When you're young, well, it's, you know, everything's wonderful and everything's going to work and all your dreams are going to come true and you just got your life planned out. I mean, you got her marked out in color and it's going to just...
Yep.
And then you get started in life and then you get children and you knew exactly what you was going to do and how you was going to do it and how you was going to raise them until you get them and then it's like, surprise!
Yeah.
People tried to tell you, but you knew. Because when you're young, you know. But then you get these surprises.
Yes.
When the train smashes you.
Yeah.
And so you see it happen over and over and over and over. Time you get this old, why, you know what's going to happen. Ain't no doubt about it. It's like I said, we ain't gambling here. We ain't drawing cards, drawing straws. This ain't no roll of the dice. See how it happens. You ain't going to win.
Nope.
And we know you ain't going to win. And so it causes grief and sorrow. You watch others as they make choices and decisions that are going to take them down a road that's familiar to you because you made similar decisions and choices in your life back there and suffered the consequences. It's hard to watch somebody else make the same turns you did and know what's going to happen. You watch others making fatal mistakes in their relationships with their spouses.
Yes.
Yes.
With their children.
Yep.
With their parents and their friends or their fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're now old enough to have seen a few generations, you know what the outcome's going to be. I'm talking about when you're old, see? When you're old enough to have watched this happen, you sit there and watch this merry-go-round come around and around and around a bunch of times. Every trip you make around the sun, you see it again.
Yes.
And you learn lessons unless you're really hard-headed and dumb and stubborn.
Yes.
As you watch parents try to train and discipline their children, you're keenly aware of what kind of attitude those children are going to have when they get to be an adult.
That's right. Yep.
I didn't know when I was young raising children. I wish I'd had enough sense to listen to older people that tried to tell me.
That's the truth.
How you discipline your children, how you train them, is going to determine what kind of people there are. And there's not that many different kinds of people. I mean, there's just good people and bad people.
That's right.
And the way you discipline is going to make the difference. You got grown people that have good attitudes, and then you got them that have bad attitudes. And I can tell what they're going to be by how they're being raised. You watch young husbands and wives interact with one another. You see through the eye of wisdom what they will have together in the future, good or bad. You see what's going to happen. Doesn't seem too many of them. I've seen this before. I've seen this movie before. I've seen this show before. I've read this book before. I've seen this all played out before. So I know I'm seeing it again. And I know where it's going to go. Yeah. I know how this story ends.
Yes.
So you see what I'm talking about life being like a train wreck? Because it's continually happening everywhere. It's just like, every time you turn your head, here we go again. Here's another one. Here's another thing. Here's another person, another family, another one. Everywhere you look, it's just crash, 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 impending doom. Whoa, you're a pessimist. No, I'm talking reality to you here. Why am I saying all this? Because it started out with the church is the place where you learn how to live. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I just want to touch it so you'll understand that I ain't just meandering around here. You watch young people dishonor their parents and slander them and demean them in the eyes of others, and you realize that theirs will be a short and miserable life and that their children will do the same to them. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Yeah. Better take him at his word. You can't help but start agreeing with Solomon's attitude about this world. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, he said, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, I guarantee you, he wrote that when he's old. He just looked at it and saw the same thing that I'm saying here tonight. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. This ain't nobody going to fix it. That's what he said. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it. And can't nobody fix nothing. I've studied wisdom, I've sought it out, I've given my heart to understand all these, and God gave him wisdom more than any other man, the Bible says. And when he got all done looking at this world and the mess it's in and people and how they do, that's what he says. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. You can't fix nothing. If it's crooked, it's crooked. If something's missing, it's just missing. And you can't put it in there to it. What a mess. Sin has made this world. All these things happen because of lack of wisdom, because of selfishness, and because of immaturity. That's what these verses in Ephesians here told us, that you be henceforth be no more children. That you henceforth be no more children. Come to church. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the people God put in your life to instruct you in the Word of God. Amen. So you grow up and not be children and acting like children, thinking that you can make anything work when it won't work, that you can take a crooked thing and make it straight. Right. You ain't going to do it.
That's good.
God has done all He can do to make a way for us to escape this vanity of life Solomon talked about there, where we mess it all up in our youth and spend our last years mourning over the way life is all backwards. We do that. We say, why couldn't I have understood when I was young? You understand as you go along. You learn as you go. But nobody will listen to the ones who know.
Right.
Because they've already been through it and understood it. And they know them because they made mistakes. We ain't listening to you. You made mistakes. Well, they're the ones you better listen to. These people that brag about all their kids are in church and all their kids are serving God and all their kids are preachers. I wouldn't listen to nothing. Then people have to say, I'll tell you, you know, they say, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I know they're deceived.
Yes, sir.
And it's not true. And even if it is true and all their kids turned out wonderful, they ain't learned much. You learn through failure. You learn the hard way. That's how you learn in this life. Now, God set up the church and He put in it pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edification of the body. Now, that's what's important to God right there. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry and the edification of the body. That's what God counts as important. Now, most people don't count that as important. First, they call out that first one and say, ain't nobody perfect. You can't be perfect. And we all sinners. And so call that one. Quit trying to tell people, like we read the other day, about the high moral ground is dangerous. You know, you if you're going to take that high moral ground, well, then you're going to have to criticize everybody else. Mm. As preacher said that.
Yeah,
a highfalutin preacher. So don't tell people that God expects us to be holy, that we're to live right, that we're to do right, that we're to love one another and treat one another and honor one another. Don't pay no attention to that. But God counts it. He highly esteems it. It's the first thing he says. Why did he give all this? Why did he set it up this way? Give these kind of people. Call these kind of people for the perfecting of the saints. And for the work of the ministry.
Yes.
What is the work of the ministry? It's to teach the people. To feed the people. Jesus said, he told Peter three times in John chapter 21. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. What does that mean? Give them what they need. So that they can grow up and quit being children.
Amen.
Tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and the deceitfulness and what all did it say there? With every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love that they may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So, the feeding of the sheep is the giving to them of the bread of life. The Word of God, to give the understanding thereof, like Ezra did and the other men that day when they stood in a pulpit of wood before the people and they read out of the book and they gave the understanding.
Yes.
I heard some old man, somebody was talking about his grandpa and he said, I remember him saying, reading the scripture, and he'd say, now son, this is what that means. Mm. That's a good thing for a grandpa to do.
Yes, that's good.
He don't forget it. Because that's what God sent apostles and prophets and preachers and evangelists and teachers. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to tell you this is what it means.
Yep.
Now, they're supposed to tell you, not the internet, not Siri, not
Amen.
Google.
That's right.
Not nobody else. That's where truth, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
Not the internet.
No. That's right.
That's right.
To know how, you know, to feed into the sheep is to give them the bread of life and the word of God and give the understanding thereof that they might know how to live in this sinful world without making a shipwreck of it all.
Yes.
If we're going to stop these train wrecks and stop these shipwrecks, people are going to have to start listening. And there's got to be some preaching being done and truth being preached.
Yes.
Real truth. Wisdom. Understand things that are practical and apply to life so that you can be perfect.
Yes.
That means mature.
Yes.
Grown up. Know what to do. Know how to make right choices. Know how to love your wife. Know how to reverence your husband. Know how to discipline your children.
Amen.
And to train them.
Amen.
So that they'll go in the right way. Train them up in the way that they should go.
Right.
And that they'll go. You know, you can't just holler at them and beat on them and you can't have a life like that. Rod of anger will fail. To know how to treat their wives and to live with them and have a blessed life with them. That's what the apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists are to do. They're to teach people things like that. Now, they can teach. But if the people won't listen, the sheep ain't getting fed.
Right.
And that's the major problem.
That is.
You can holler about all the preachers not a-preaching all you want to, but the people won't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't be there. You got to be there.
Yes,
everybody needs to sit in church.
Yes. Yeah.
The ones in the nursery tonight are not hearing this.
Right.
They need to hear it.
Yes.
They're missing. See? Important stuff that they need for their life. That's why I don't like nurseries. Never have. I know it's necessary when you got little bitty babies. But we don't need nurseries for kids that are able to sit in church. Lucas is sitting there in church. He's doing fine.
Yep.
We kept our kids in church, I mean, from the time they were... Yep. I don't even remember. If we did put them in the nursery maybe a little bit, but we kept our kids with us. And yep. I just prepared.
Yeah, we did.
I had stuff to poke in their mouth or something for them to do to keep them occupied to still. And if that didn't work, I'd pinch the dickens out of them. And they didn't like that. But they all did it to their kids too. So it's very important. I don't care if they don't like it or not or didn't like it or not. It's too important for them to learn to sit in church and listen so they don't wreck their lives. That wives would know how to treat their husbands and live with them in joy and love. And not fighting and fussing.
Amen.
And griping and growling. And discontented and unhappy. And displeased and nagging all the time.
Yes.
That they know from the Word of God how to train and discipline their children in love and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
They ought to learn these things in church. And I don't mean we have to have lessons and demonstrations and all that. We just take the Word of God and you ought to receive the Word of God. And when you digest it into your soul and into your mind, you just know. You don't have to have an instruction manual.
No, that's right.
You learn from the Word of God what God's done for you and how He's treated you.
Mm-hmm.
Go and do likewise with your wife, with your children,
right.
With everybody else. Yes.
Yes.
That they know how to deal with injustice and loss and pain in their lives under the influence of the grace of God and not the rudiments of this world and the philosophies of this world.
Amen.
They just need God and the grace of God, and they need to know what it is and how it works, and they need to be partakers of it.
Yes.
And they don't need to go running to the world and to groups, support groups, and
no.
Women's groups, and mothers' groups,
no.
And babies' groups, and fathers' groups, and
that's right.
Yes.
Away
Amen.
With all that stuff.
Amen.
It's poison. It's poison to your soul.
Yep.
You need God, you need church, you need preaching, and you need to listen. You need to be there, and you need to listen.
Yes.
And it'll straighten out all these problems
yes.
in your life. It will, it will, it will.
Yes.
There ain't no other cure for it. That love is the ruling principle
yes.
in life,
yes.
in all matters concerning God and others. Love is the ruling principle.
Yes.
Kids are aggravating.
Yes.
Sometimes husbands are aggravating.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes wives are aggravating. We get on one another's nerves.
Yes.
We do things that are frustrating and aggravating. But love ought to be the prevailing principle
Amen.
In everything. You can say things to somebody about that you don't like it without just throwing a hissy fit. Or busting something in the house to show how mad and upset you are.
Right.
It's just not the way to do it. It produces children who are angry.
Yes,
and no, with no faith in God. There's these things I'm saying, man, I'd like to just stop and dig in because it's so important that love is the ruling principle. It's just, love covereth a multitude of sin. You can mess up a whole bunch. You can do a lot of things wrong. You can misunderstand a lot of things. And that'll cover it if you'll just make that the ruling principle of your life. So, church, being the means that God has ordained for us to learn how to live, and that's truth. That is how it is. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if you know the truth will make you free. So where do you need to go? Church. It's important.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
You ain't in church, you're getting it somewhere else. And there I'm getting ahead of myself. When we miss
right.
church or sit out of it while we're sitting in the pew, some people come to church, sit in the pew, and they ain't there.
No.
I mean, if they ain't playing with their phone, they're thinking about it. Or they're thinking about what they're going to do, or something they're going to build, or some job they got to do, or somebody's... People sit in church, don't listen, ain't there.
Nope.
Nope.
So if we miss it or we sit out of it while we're sitting in the pew, we replace it with some other source of instruction.
Every time.
If you ain't going to listen to the preacher, the evangelist, or the teacher, you're going to listen to somebody else. It's just inevitable. It's absolutely impossible not to. If you don't get your instruction, your wisdom, your understanding and knowledge through that avenue, then you're going to get it from Google. Yeah.
Right.
Or books. Yeah. You're going to get it from other people.
Exactly right.
You're going to hunt them out. You're going to gravitate to them. Birds of a feather flock together. Don't forget that. You do that, you're just showing your colors.
Right.
Showing who you are.
Right.
I mean, if you're really born again and Christ lives in you and this is a new creature, there's going to be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness.
Yes.
And it ain't going to have to be spoon-fed to you or crammed down your throat. You're going to be coming and eager to learn. Man, I remember when I first got started in all of this, I came home from work, and you didn't have to tell me not to watch TV. I was not interested in that stupid thing.
Yep.
I remember she stayed, kept watching it there a while. I paid no attention to it. I came in, got to the table, and I got my Bible, and I got some books, and I got tapes to I had tapes of playing, and I was reading, and I was always searching to find out something, to figure something out, to get some questions answered.
Yes.
Nobody had to just cram it down my throat. I didn't just go on living in the world and doing worldly things and my mind filled with the world and then just drag into church on Sunday morning and bless me if you can.
Right.
See what I can hear here.
Right.
It wasn't that way at all. And I just don't believe it's that way with anybody that really gets saved.
That's
I think
right.
There's a fire lit in your soul and you just got to get somewhere where you can hear and get your soul fed. That's what feeds your soul, is the truth. I'd hear preaching and I listened to some pretty poor preaching back then. I really did. I thought it was good then. But there was enough truth in it that I could pick through all of the mess and I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
All I was looking for was truth.
That's right.
I wasn't so busy trying to figure out where he's wrong and what he's saying wrong and every little word. I didn't just dice it all up and like people do now, like I have done since.
Yeah.
I just looking for the truth. And when he said something true, it was just like, oh, yes. And I kept it.
Yeah.
And kept gathering jewels.
Yeah.
And that's the way it ought to be throughout all your Christian life. So we gather knowledge from other sources when we don't get it at church. We listen to the opinions of others in order to form our opinions.
Oh. You're dead on right.
Yep.
Why do you want to cheapen it down that low? I mean, when you can sit at the table in your house and have a good, nice, hot meal on a plate in a clean place, why would you want to get out there and scratch around with the chickens?
Yep.
But you go to church and turn it all off and then go home and sit and just scroll and read all the memes and read opinions and go see what this bunch of goofballs in a group says and thinks and tells you ought to do. And they don't need to be telling you how to raise your children, how to live with your husband, how to do anything.
Amen.
You need to get that from God.
Yes.
And you need to get that from God through the preaching at church and the teaching at church.
That's right.
Don't you think God is able to do that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even if you got a real poor church and a real poor preacher, God can feed your soul.
Yes, he sure can.
If you'll just go after it the way he meant for you to go after it. Go to church and listen.
Yes.
And he'll take care of you. I've got things, real good things, from some of the poorest preaching I ever listened to. Because I was listening. And I heard something. And I know God did that.
Sure.
That preacher didn't do that. He didn't know what he was doing. But I got something from God
right.
through that.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it works. Amen. So We listen to the opinions of others in order to form our own. We build a philosophy of life and a set of moral standards and a playbook to follow in our dealings with others. Out of the godless, depraved, vain minds of the sinners we listen to. You get your philosophy of life from people when you listen to them. Man, I've watched it. I've experienced it myself. I've watched it in others for all of these years. And when people get around the wrong people, they just start circling the drain. Because they're the vain conversation, their filthy conversation, it just affects you.
Sure does.
You start acting different.
Yep.
You start dressing different.
Yep.
You start talking different.
Yes.
You pick up their lingo and their slang and their filthy talk, and every once in a while one of their filthy words will come out of your mouth.
Yes, it will. Yep, that's right.
And especially those that are substitute cuss words. I hear people saying words that are going around common everywhere and you don't even know what you're saying.
That's right.
If you knew what you were saying, you wouldn't let that filth come out of your mouth.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
But it's because you've been around and listening to the filthy conversation of the wicked.
That's right.
You hear it on TV. You hear it everywhere you go. You get on Facebook and Christian friends will put it on there.
Oh.
They'll put filth on there. They'll put profanity on there.
Yes,
they'll put dirty sexual stuff on there.
Yes. Yes. Yep, they do.
And it affects you. It affects you. Why do you think the Lord said, come out from among them and be ye separate?
Yep.
Get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Stay. Keep yourself to Him. How you think Jesus would feel about his bride coming home and all she can talk about is all the men she's been talking to and everything that's been around out there? Do you get me? Her mind just filled with all the thoughts and opinions and crazy ideas and reasoning of his enemy, those that hate him. We develop an attitude and an outlook that sets us apart from those who sit in church and do listen and who are fed. When you start missing, when you stop listening, when you start substituting for what you hear out there and what you can get off your phone and the computer and everywhere else, then you start pulling away from the people who sit in church and listen.
Yep.
Right.
I've been preaching long enough to, I ain't no dummy about that.
Yes,
I've sat and preached to people and I can see it on their faces. I can see when it begins and I know where we're going.
Yep.
So I just prepare myself.
Because yep.
No amount of anything is going to stop it. They have stopped listening. They've changed sources. They've unplugged it here and they've plugged it in somewhere else. And so you ain't going to convince them, you ain't going to reason with them, you ain't going to love them out of it. They're done with
that's right.
you.
That's right.
They're separated. They've got this attitude that's been birthed in them that they got a better way, a better idea.
Yep.
This little old church and these people are so radical and old and they're just not with it and they don't understand. And I found a better way to think. I got some friends that explain things to me a little better and I understand now. And so you ain't going to get along no more. Not going to get along no more. That creates division. When you get that attitude and that outlook that sets you apart, then it creates a division and it eventually leads to separation, which is the opposite of what these scriptures are teaching us here. In verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. So, all of this teaching, listening, is to bring us into unity.
Yes.
What'll separate us? Well, if somebody's listening to something else.
Yep.
Somebody else is plugged in somewhere else.
Yep.
So if we all listen to the same preaching, I hope y'all listening to me here, we'll all be of the same mind in the important matters of life.
That's
Now, I don't care what your favorite color is. That ain't got nothing to do with any kind of moral thing or anything like that. I don't care, Gary, if you don't like raisins. I ain't going to hold that against you. I don't think you're wicked because you don't like raisins. I wonder, you know, what's wrong with you, but I don't. But I don't think that.
Right.
But when it comes to right and wrong.
Yes.
When it comes to things that are moral, to things that do lead to worse things.
Yes.
Then, yeah. Yeah, we got a problem.
That's right.
If we all listen to the same preaching, we'll all have the same mind in the important matters of life. Now, if some of you listen to other preaching, I mean, I ain't telling you to not listen to no other preaching, but I'm just saying you better watch out because that's where division comes from. Most preachers, if they got any sense, they realize they got a problem if they got another preacher sitting in their church. Well, I've tried that before. What you do, you got another critic. You got an Absalom there. You know. That's the way it usually works. All the division in church comes from people trying to counsel people against the pastor.
Yes.
The leadership of the church, the ones that God's put there to teach.
Yes.
Now that don't mean that they're immune from any kind of accountability or being dismissed or whatever. If teachers and pastors, they can get out of whack too.
Yes.
And they must be held to account.
Yes.
And the people are to hold them to account. But as long as they're there, God put them there, I'm to listen to them. And to submit to them. You know, I've been in a lot of churches, and I've been in different churches where I did not agree with them. But I kept my mouth shut. And I sat in the pew. And I listened to them. And I looked as hard as I could for something good from them. I didn't sit there and just snarl and carry on and all that. That's wrong to do that. I'm not the pastor of that church. If he's going to give account. God's going to judge everybody. It says here in the end of this chapter, God's going to judge all of us about everything. I'm not going to answer for them, but I'm going to answer for me. And I'm told to honor all men. And I'm told to submit. And I understand the order of things. So that's the way I've always done it. I've been in situations where I knew he was wrong. But it's not my job to correct him in front of everybody else. Or to call him to account. If I think he's wrong, I ought to just go to him and say, listen, you know, let me talk to you. Can we talk? And if he don't get mad at you, you might do some good. Let me hurry up here. If some of us go outside the fences and start grazing elsewhere, it won't be long until there'll be division and strife and schism among us. And I promise you that.
That's right.
And that happens in families also, as well as churches.
Yes,
you know what causes the problems in families? Most people in this country and all over the world, this is the way you do things now. You take your kids to school, you put them on the bus or whatever, and you don't see them till the end of the day. Now, you know, when I was a kid, we went to school and got out when school was out and we came home. And now there's just ball games and activities, and they've just got the kids all the time. And they're all the time pumping them full of... School ain't what it used to be. It used to be about getting an education, about reading, arithmetic, and writing. You know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. The three R's, they say. But really it was. And they learned stuff. Did you ever look at one of those 8th grade tests back in the late 1800s? Yes! They educated the children, obviously. Now they're just brainwashing them. It's all about philosophy and getting them to believe all this socialism and immorality and anything against God. How do we get to where we are in this country right now? Because people kept sending, they'd raise their kids in church and send them off to the state colleges and let them take everything out of them they'd put in them.
That's right.
Hillary Clinton came from a Republican conservative family. Did you know that? Until she went to college in the 60s. That's true.
Yes, true.
Been a lot of them. Been a lot more than just her. It happens in families, see? It causes divisions. When you're young, you're easily convinced that you know everything. You're easily sold on some new philosophy, some new way of doing things. You're easily sold. And you swallowed hook, line, and sinker into everybody that's older, and you're dumb. They just don't know. They don't understand. That's how they send them to college. They come home. Mom, dad's stupid. They don't know nothing. And it causes divisions in families. The snare that Jesus talked about coming upon the whole world in the last days. I mentioned that just in one of the last few messages here I preached. It's in Luke. But it very well may be this social media that everybody's entangled in right now. I'm thinking more and more in toward that way of looking at things. He said that it's a snare that'll come up on all the world. And it is a snare. How could you describe it any other way? We got to have it now to do business. We got to have it to communicate. You know, telephones don't exist anymore. Talking on a phone to somebody, that don't happen much. It's just become a necessity of life, we think. But it's the perfect means for the devil to divide churches, to divide families, to break up marriages, and to divide nations. Look at it. Look where we're at. It's called the information highway. And it's working very well for Satan in his war on God and righteousness and his goal of destroying the human race. And he's never had anything that works so well. God gave us apostles and evangelists and prophets and teachers and pastors for the perfecting of the saints. And that worked real well through centuries and centuries of dark ages and persecution. What the devil couldn't accomplish with the dark ages and the persecution and the Catholic Church, he's now accomplishing with our free access to all the knowledge and opinions of the ungodly world around us with our willing consent and participation. What they couldn't do with axes and swords and torture equipment and threats and burning people at the stake and all of that couldn't stop the church. But this is working better than all that he's had before. Yep. Social media. We're continually opening ourselves up to the opinions, to the instruction, to the advice of other people that are ungodly people. We're constantly amused, we're constantly amazed, we're constantly intrigued by their memes and their little bits of wisdom and their little things they say and show and draw and take pictures of.
Yes, yeah, we are.
And we're not too thrilled with God and church and eternity and... If we want to survive in this world until Jesus comes, and we don't want to lose our children and our own selves, we better start drawing some lines and putting up some fences, and we better stay in our own pastures.
Yes,
we better do our best to listen and to receive what God gives us here and not be grazing in unproven and unknown places where things are likely to be poisoned.
Amen.
Bible said, if a woman learn anything, let her ask her husband at home. Why can't you just ask anybody? Well, that's what she's doing now.
He's the very last.
He is the last place she's going to go to hear an opinion, to get any instruction, to get any knowledge. The last one. He's stupid. He don't know nothing.
That's it.
He can't do nothing without messing it up. He's an idiot. Where's the church supposed to go to get instruction? If you're a Christian, where are you supposed to get your instruction, your knowledge, your understanding? Where are you go to get help with all of that? so that you know how to live with your wife, live with your husband, raise your children and discipline them and train them up in the way they should go. And how to get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Where you learn that?
Right here.
Yes.
Amen.
You learn it in church. And I'm talking about a local church. I ain't talking about no invisible universal church. There ain't no such a thing.
That's right. That's right.
Church is what we got right here. The local churches are what the way God has set it up right now. Until He comes, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
And so really, I just don't want to hear much from anybody else. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the world mainly. But, you know, everybody's put down denominations and all for so long, but you better be careful about that also.
Yes.
Yeah. Independent Baptists have been bad about that. And then all, but at the same time, they're very exclusive. Everybody else is going to hell, but the Independent Baptists, and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
That's their attitude.
Yeah.
But you better be careful just throwing your net too wide.
Yep.
I'm real careful. I mean, I'm going to wind this down here, but I'm real careful about who I read after.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I see a lot of people putting C.S. Lewis quotes on there. You need to know who C.S. Lewis was.
Yes.
You need to know how he lived and what he really thought.
That's right.
Before you go praising his quotes too much.
Yep.
She puts a lot of quotes in the bulletin, and sometimes I cull them because that's somebody we honor.
Yeah.
That may be true. That may be a good saying he said, but I not where it come from.
Yeah.
It's the same with the contemporary music, see? You hear a good song, sounds just like an old hymn and everything. But everybody will know, where'd that come from? Well, that come from Keith Getty, you know? And then people get on the internet and go looking at what he, the rest of what he's doing. Be very careful. That's why God set it up this way. We didn't used to have all this stuff, see? Through all the centuries, people couldn't go get it anywhere else. They were glad to come to church and have some man preach to them once a month, even. They'd hear some of the Word of God and get some help and get some instruction, get some encouragement to live for God. So I'm real careful about that. You know, people that are rank Calvinists, I just... Now, the old Calvinists way back there, you can get a lot of good stuff from what they wrote because they didn't see it the way these modern Calvinists do. They didn't. They just didn't. There's a difference. But these charismatics and Pentecostals and these people that are way out in left field, I don't read after them. I don't want their quotes. I don't want their quotes in our bulletin or anything else. So you be careful too. Be careful who you listen to. Don't just take what they're saying and say, oh, my, that's awful good. Need to figure out where it come from. Do you think the devil would tell you the truth?
Yes, he would.
Well, yeah, he will. It's no marvel. If his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, they'll preach right down the line to get you on the hook. And then they'll slip the poison into you. That's the way it is.
That's right.
Amen.
It's true.
I'm just tired of seeing wrecks. I'm tired of seeing people heading into wrecks. I just see it over and over. I see them making decisions that are going to cause a wreck.
Yep.
If you're young, you need to be in church. Young mothers need to be sitting in church listening to the Word of God.
That's right.
They set out for months and months and months, and they'll get so messed up in their mind and heart and out of away from God and cold in their heart and full of the world that they'll be lost.
Yes, sir.
And they'll be a terrible wreck. Amen. All right. I believe it. Bow with me. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And I know it's true. I know what I've said here tonight. I wish I was able to have prepared better. Maybe made it a little clearer. But Lord, I pray you'd take it and make it what it needs to be in every heart and mind that'll listen tonight. Please help us, Lord. The pressure's on all of us. I know. It's just a real difficult time to live and stay on the rails. It's just, there's just so much to look at, and so many voices, and so much noise and confusion, and so much going on in the world, and everybody pulling in different directions, these other churches and everything just absolutely going to pot. All this thing that's happened with the virus and everything, a lot of churches they're not even having church now, just once a week in some other way they're trying to call it church. And Lord, I know this is going to lead to a great falling away for sure. Please help us in our little number here. I pray you'd work in our hearts. And Lord, keep us in your care. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.